Welcome. My name's Adrian Beebe, and this is the 10th in the series of podcasts about the village of Kington Langley in North Wiltshire. For centuries, public houses have been at the heart of village life, and Kington Langley is no different. But today, both of the village's pubs lie closed, their bars unattended, tables and chairs stacked, rooms empty and silent, except perhaps for the whisper of bygone drinkers. So in this episode, we're going to explore the history of Kington Langley's pubs, and I'll be talking to a lady who ran one of them half a century ago. Oh, and if you've ever wondered where the hit or miss gets its name from, I'll tell you. You're listening to Memories of Kington Langley.
Episode 10, A Brief History of Drinking.
That was the characters. I mean, we used to get the Ratman come round about twice a year, so-called go round the farms killing the rats, whether we did or not. I mean, they used to take Mickey out of him. The donkey man, we used to get a donkey man. Used to park his little, call it a caravan, could you?
Yeah.
Well, it was a car, wasn't it?
Fred Abel.
Fred Abel with his donkey. And he came one Christmas and the kids had him in the school, had the donkey in the school for the nativity play.
That's the voice of Barbara Jeffries you're listening to, landlady of Kington Langley's Hit or Miss Pub from 1958 to 1987. We're going to be hearing more from Barbara shortly. But this episode, I'm going to begin by asking a question. How many pubs in Kington Langley can you name? Two? Maybe more? Well, I'm going to bet that there have been more public houses of one sort or another in this village than most people realise. So let me list them for you. The first and longest surviving until it closed two or three years ago was the Plough Inn. It stands on the far side of the dual carriageway, feeling more like a part of neighbouring Kington St Michael. But the dual carriageway is a relatively new addition. The remains of the original road between Chippenham and Malmesbury still stand on the far side of the pub, where you can see the old milestone just outside the gates of the Plymouth Brethren Worship Centre. Second in my list of pubs, the White Hart Coaching Inn. This once stood on the site of what is now the Manor House, the large property on the Swindon Road opposite Great House. On Parker's Lane, our third pub was the house now known as White Maze. It's a house that always strikes me as having an unusually steeply pitched roof. Well, once upon a time, it was the Velvet Tavern. I think that's a wonderful name for an inn. Fourth, White Rails, the classically proportioned house beside the Hit or Miss pub. When it was sold in 1948, it was described as a beer house. And of course, fifth, the Hit or Miss itself, the pub at the heart of the village. So that's five drinking places in the records. But in this episode, we're going to focus on just one of them, the Hit or Miss. Barbara Jeffries enters the story of this pub in 1951. So before we get to Barbara, we've got a bit of historical ground to cover as we learn about the pub's origins and the people who ran it.
The building we know as the Hit or Miss was originally a row of three 17th century cottages cum shops and only became a public house in the late 1800s.
Arthur Parnell is one of its first recorded occupants. He lives in the cottage on the left for some 30 years from 1861. He's a baker, grocer, beer retailer and innkeeper. Some years later, his son Giles will open Parnell's Bakery in Silver Street. That's the store we spoke about in episode 7. A man named Jeremiah Ash also runs a butcher's and grocer's from the cottages.
Henry Curtis moves to one of the cottages in the 1880s with his wife and 9 children. He begins to sell beer and eventually takes over all 3 cottages, creating the pub as we know it.
Henry is succeeded by his son, Arthur Curtis. Now, you may remember Arthur. We've met him before in episode 8. He is the man who delivers the milk from Lime Tree Farm in the early 1930s. The writer, Heather Tanner, documented his unhurried progress around the village. On the 9th of January, 1915, the Wiltshire Times and Trowbridge Advertiser reports that Arthur's been caught serving underage drinkers.
Arthur Curtis of Kington Langley was summoned for having served Edward Humphreys, lad under 14, with a quantity of beer and stout in a bottle and not sealing that said bottle. He was also summoned for selling Humphreys a packet of cigarettes, Humphreys being under 16 years of age. The bench imposed a fine of 10 shillings in the first case and let the defendant off with a caution in the second case.
This is not Arthur's only brush with the law. By October 1924, Arthur's left the hit or miss and is living in a cottage owned by Mr. and Mrs. Cole. However, on the 3rd of October, Arthur and his family are evicted. This is what the Wiltshire Times says.
Armed with a warrant of ejectment, the village constable proceeded to the house a few days ago and, under his eye, the furniture was removed from the cottage and placed on the green by the side of the road. Rain was falling somewhat heavily during the time the goods were being removed, a proceeding which lasted over 2 hours. Curtis is employed by Mr. Little of Lime Tree Farm, and the furniture was removed to the hayloft there, where the family of 5 are now residing.
The hayloft in question is still there today. It's the 2-story building just to the left of Lime Tree Farm as you look at it, which used to have an external staircase on the front. According to the paper,
the ejectment has caused some indignation in the district.
Arthur Curtis continues to live in the village till his death in 1954. Next, it's the turn of one Victor William Benham, a butcher by trade, to take over the hit or miss. Benham has his own run-in with the law in 1915, when he's accused of buying a leg of mutton he knew to be stolen. He's spotted cycling with the joint of meat across his handlebars. According to the Wiltshire Times, the case against Benham is dismissed, but when applause breaks out in court, the magistrate has stern words for the pub landlord.
I don't think this is any occasion for applause, because, Benham, you are standing here in the position of knowing, or you ought to have known, what you were doing. I hope, for the rest of your life, you will remember the position you have put yourself in.
The rest of Benham's life ends in March 1933. Benham dies aged just 46. Apparently, he's been in failing health for over 2 years. The hit or miss is ready for its next licensee. Three years pass. Victor Benham's widow, Lavinia, marries village resident Henry Bentz. Their marital home is the hit or miss, alongside Lavinia's aging parents. Henry dies in 1951, aged 65, 15 years after he became licensee. There are many wreaths, the Wiltshire Times reports, including one from the patrons of the hit or miss. The hunt for the next licensee is on. Which brings us to Barbara Jeffries, or Barbara Carver, as she was known in 1951, a 15-year-old girl living with her parents, Clifford and Gladys, in Langley Borough. Clifford was the first secretary of the National Farm Workers Union in Chippenham. So what made Barbara's family decide to make the move to the hit or miss?
My father was a farm worker at farm at Peckinshaw, and this hit miss came out. When it came out, there was a field on the side with a barn in it, and he thought that he would be able to run some cattle and that in there, as well as having the pub. But as soon as we got in there, the council took the field to put the council houses up. So that's how we come to be there.
That field Barbara mentioned is the land on which Dovey's Terrace now stands. Before talking to her, I'd assume that someone in her family had experience of running a pub. It turns out I'm completely wrong.
So your parents, they'd never run a pub before?
No, my father didn't even drink. He never drank.
It's quite a big move for your family then at that time.
Well, it was, yeah. I was 15 when I moved there. I mean, the pub wasn't like it is now. It was actually, the pub was two small rooms. That's all the pub was. No bar. No bar. You had to go find out what they wanted to drink and carry it back to the cellar, which used to be the butchery part of the house. Next door was a grocery shop. And when we moved there, all the shelves were still there.
Even though it meant being uprooted from her family home, living at the Hit or Miss sounded very attractive to Barbara.
I mean, where we lived at Langleyborough, it was on the common. That's on the main road going to Swindon. We had no electric, no nothing. And my parents, I can remember them saying, we're moving to a house with electric and a bathroom and all that. And we thought it was great. Just to, you know, we were going in a house with all those facilities.
So Barbara's parents take over the running of the pub as tenants of Usher's Brewery from Trowbridge. But 5 years later, tragedy strikes. In March 1956, Barbara's father, Clifford, dies aged 48. Her mother has little interest in running the pub, so Barbara and her husband, Ken Jeffries, a Kington Langley villager, take on the responsibility.
How long were your parents running it for?
My father died in March 56. He was only 48 years old. Then my husband and I, we ran that place for 2 years because my mother wasn't really interested. And then all of a sudden she came along and said, well, I'm getting married again. Do you want to take the pub on? And we said, yes. Well, we knew everybody. We'd sort of built the trade up. I mean, I think I was 22 and Ken was 28 when we took that pub over. You had to be married. You couldn't take a pub then if you weren't married. We had to get references, which we got 3 references. And at that time, the pub, when we first took over, was only a beer pub. Beer and cider. No spirits. But we got that license. We had to have a book on the counter for people to sign. Did they want us to sell spirits, which we got? I can tell you now that pint of cider, rough cider, which was what we sold a lot of, 8p a pint, old money, and a pint of beer was 1p.
Pub rents in the late 1950s were a lot cheaper.
When we took it over in October 58, our rent was £1 a week with Usher's Brewery. And when we left in 87, it was £120 a week.
Serving a pint of beer was very different in 1958 too.
Going back to when you first take over the pub yourself, when you're serving beer or cider, presumably you don't have electronic pumps or anything like that. This is
nothing, no.
So if I came into the pub in 1958 and asked for a pint of bitter, how would you get it for me?
You put the barrels up and they all had to be tapped. You put a plug in the top of the barrel to ease some stuff and then they were tapped. That was when we first took it over and you had to tap them. Cider was in a 5-gallon thing which you could stand on the counter and just pull a pint.
So the big beer barrels, was that you basically had to hold a pint glass there and turn a tap or a jug?
And turn the tap on, yeah.
Okay, and that was in the cellar of the pub?
That was in the cellar.
Okay.
Which was on level ground with a bar.
The clientele was exclusively male at the outset, but signs of change were already in the air.
In those days, women never came in a pub. It was men only. You very, very seldom saw a woman in a pub. My recollection of the first woman that came into the pub, they were in the RAF at Hallamington. Gus and Jane was their names. He was a proper RAF man with big moustache. And they would come every evening, motorbike and sidecar. Jay in the sidecar, him driving. And she would come in the pub with him, and they both drank cider with the handles, both of them. And my husband said to her one night, "Aren't you embarrassed? You know, you're the only woman that comes into the pub." Her answer to him was, "If I want a bloody pint, I shall come in and have one."
Barbara's mention of the RAF interests me. Just how popular was the hit or miss with military personnel who were stationed close to Kington Langley during the 1950s and 60s?
We used to get them down from Lynham because one of them lived in a flat down opposite Great House, Miss Maundrell's, wasn't it, that used to put the water troughs in the fields.
Yeah,
used to get gangs down from Lynham. They used to come in. Well, we used to get the police there a lot early evening before drink and drive. They'd ring up, "What time are you opening?" Because they wanted a drink.
Did you used to have lock-ins? What were they like?
Did we? Yes, we did. I don't think there was any landlord about that didn't have lock-ins. The worst ones was the RAF from Lynham. They were the worst ones. If they come down, you knew that was it. You'd have it. But never any trouble. Never any trouble whatsoever.
But of course, it wasn't just the military drinking at the hit or miss. Kington Langley villagers were its mainstay, and there were plenty of characters among them. At the start of this episode, we heard Barbara talking about the Rat Man and the Donkey Man. But there were plenty more. For example, the Bread and Cheese Man.
You had your characters. You really did have your characters. What was the name of the fellow that used to cycle over from Christian Walford with his bread and cheese? He used to, at dinner time, he'd be there, he'd put his handkerchief on the table, out would come his bread and cheese, pint of cider, that was his dinner. And he'd be back again in the evening, same thing, handkerchief he'd put on the table with his bread and cheese, that was his supper.
And of course, there was Harry Smith from Silver Street.
You're talking about characters. We used to have an old boy who lived in Silver Street. It would come up 2.5 pints. Now, that was all he could drink. If he drank any more than that, you were taking him home. And my husband took him home one night, and Harry said to him, "Hang on a minute, I got something for you." And a voice from upstairs said, "Yes, and you bring him up here." And my husband was gone. He was gone.
For Barbara and husband Ken, life in Kington Langley was good. They and the hit or miss were a positive influence on village life.
My husband, he'd take the mickey out of anybody, and they accepted it. He did a lot for the village, really, didn't he? He did an awful lot for the village. He ran 2 football teams. In the pub, we had 2 dart teams. We had 2 crib teams. The hit or miss was the pub that did the twinning of chipping up with France, because there was a student working at the milk marketing board at the time, used to come up the pub, a fellow from Chippenham. He was councillor. They got talking, and that was the start of the twinning of chipping up. We used to run the Helping Hands Committee, which used to give the old people a Christmas meal every year, free Christmas meal with entertainment. I mean, we used to put on barbecues to raise money for that out on the green in front of the pub. I mean, we did a lot, really, there.
Barbara mentioned the twinning of Chippenham just then. The hit or miss had a central role in that. As Barbara explained, back in 1980, a young French engineer called Maxence Meloca is working at the milk marketing board and staying in Kington Langley. On his first day, he visits the hit or miss and is introduced by Barbara's husband to Reg and Shirley Coates, who both speak French. They are leading supporters of twinning for Chippenham. Maxence is from a town called La Flèche, and after 2 years of more formal meetings, the towns are twinned. Voila! Nothing, as they say, lasts forever. And for Barbara and Ken, by the mid-1980s, their time at the hit or miss was drawing to a close. It was not brought about by age or by illness, but something you might not expect. Food.
Did you ever serve food or did you just do drink?
No, just do rolls. We didn't have the facilities, and this was the problem. When ushers sold to Watney Man, that's who they sold to, Watney Man. Watney Man came along to us and said, right, you've got to do food. Well, we never had the facilities to do food. We only had for ourselves a pokey little kitchen. My husband said, no, I'm not doing food. What do you want to do food for here in a village pub? They go home, they have their meals at home, they come down in the evening for a drink. Anyway, they kept on and kept on, and in the end they said, well, if you don't do food, you've got to get out. And that's why we got out. It's bought the village pubs. Everything went because in the end, those pubs that did food, the dart league went, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because the pubs didn't want dart players in there if they were serving food. And it killed the village pub. And this is why the communities went.
They left the pub in 1987, leaving the village to become stewards of a social club at Badminton. Barbara remembers their departure vividly.
I broke my heart the day we left there. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to move. But what option did we have? We didn't have any option whatsoever. We had some good send-off nights, didn't we?
Yeah.
Some really good send-off nights. I mean, I've got photographs here of what happened on the nights before. Oh, I hated it. I hated it, really. I didn't want to go.
Today, Barbara lives in Chippenham. Her husband Ken died in 2007, but her children and family are close. I ask her about her favourite memories of the Hit or Miss.
Just looking back on your times there in a pub, what did you enjoy most about being a landlady of the Kings and Langley pub?
Well, I used to have some fun. Like I said, it was hard work, but it was enjoyable. And you meet nice people. You do meet some nice people. Some really, really nice people you meet from all walks of life.
It's 34 years since Barbara departed the Hit or Miss. Today, the pub stands empty. Its windows shattered, its door barricaded, its roof sagging. For some villagers, there's still hope that the pub can be saved. Others, however, are resigned to its demise, perhaps by conversion to housing. The Plough Inn has closed too. It's been purchased by the Plymouth Brethren, but not as a public house. These are hard times for pubs, made harder still by the pandemic. According to one report, around 10,000 licensed premises in Britain closed permanently last year. The golden age of the village pub may well and truly be over, and it's a great shame. It's only since moving to Kington Langley that I realised just how important a role a pub plays in the life of a village. It's a focal point, a meeting place, an escape, a party and a community centre, all rolled into one. Villagers like Kington Langley are the poorer for their loss. One final thing before I go. I said I'd reveal the true meaning of the Hit or Miss's name. Now, many people think it relates to the sport of cricket, particularly as the pub's sign features a cricket match. But you'd be wrong. In the edition of the Wiltshire Times, dated the 8th November 1952, in a column called Wiltshire Inn Signs, the mystery is explained.
The Hit or Miss at Kington Langley can, of course, be traced to a type of gate.
So it's a gate. A little Googling reveals that a hit and miss gate is so called because the wooden boards are alternately fixed on the front and back of the gate to create a unique hit and miss pattern. I'd like to thank Barbara Jeffries and her family for helping me with this episode. Information is also taken from Sheila Calhoun's book, The Story of Kington Langley. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. This has been Memories of Kington Langley. Goodbye.